Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this Lord's Day, we come to Acts chapter 21, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 36 as our text this morning. So let us read together the Word of Almighty God. And after these days, we packed up and went to Jerusalem. Also some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God and said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them, and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality." Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked him who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, 'Away with him!' Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word this morning, we again see Paul in the midst of a tumult, in the midst of trouble. And yet this time we see it in Jerusalem. Many other times we have seen it throughout Asia and throughout Greece and many other places. But now Paul has gone to Jerusalem. He had been prophesied again and again that he would be in danger in Jerusalem. Yet he is now there. And we read that he is in grave danger because of those even from Asia, the Jews from Asia, who see him and complain about him and bring up then a mob scene. As we look at this passage of God's word, we see the theme that we want to see is Paul's attempt to appease the Jews brings down their wrath. Paul's attempt to appease the Jews brings down their wrath. As we look at this passage from verses 15 through 19, we see that Paul brings the word of the Gentiles' conversion to Jerusalem. In verses 20 through 26, we see that Paul attempts to appease the Jewish Christians' zeal for the law. And then in verses 27 through 36, we see that Christ's fulfillment of the law as taught by Paul is misconstrued as lawlessness. So first of all, we see that Paul brings word of the Gentiles' conversion in verses 15 through 19. Paul finally gets to Jerusalem. We've been looking at this trip for quite some time now, and Paul gets there. He comes from Caesarea. He had been there for a couple of days, even a week, and we see that he is bringing Mnason from Cyprus, an early disciple, with him, and they are in finally Jerusalem. And Paul then has an audience with the disciples in Jerusalem. We read that in verses 17 through 19. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, we read. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. All of the apostles were together there, and they meet together. And Paul counsels with James and with the elders of the church there, we read. And when they had when he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. Paul tells of the conversion of the Gentiles. He tells of what God had done through his preaching, through the missionary journeys on which he had gone. And so Paul brings word to Jerusalem concerning this fact. And sadly, despite initial joy at this matter, what is the carrying matter that is of this council? We see that there are myriads of Jews who are zealous for the law. Verse 21, but they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor walk according to the customs. And so these Jews have a zeal for the law. The conversion of the Jews is going on, and it's going very well. And they are yet zealous for the law. Paul says in Romans 10, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And we see that they have a zeal, but they don't understand. They don't understand the changes that go on in the coming of Jesus Christ. It is a misinformed zeal that Paul was teaching to forsake Moses and not to circumcise their children and to not walk according to Jewish customs. Half-truth. Certainly, baptism is replacing circumcision in the New Testament. Paul writes Romans 2, 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who was one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. But Moses had written that already in Deuteronomy, that they needed to be circumcised in the flesh of the foreskins of their heart. And so this is not something new, this is something very much Old Testament. Yet, because many Jews were only steeped in customs, they did not know the Scriptures. And that's what we want to talk about for a moment here. The customs aren't in themselves a bad thing, but they must be tested by Scripture. Are our customs an obedience to God and brought about wisely in history? Or are they man-made foolishness? Jesus taught in Mark 7, among other places. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching its doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, for washing of pitchers and cups, and of many other things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many other such things you do. And so we must understand that tradition is not always a bad thing, but traditions can take us away from the word of God, from the truth of the gospel. And we need to always be, as our church speaks of, reforming back to the word of God. And so Paul told by the apostles to appease these zealous Jews, to appease their traditions. They say the assembly must meet, but it really has already met in Acts 15. The decree, though, at this point is only being applied to the Greeks. And so Paul is told to be purified according to the Old Testament purification rites. And this is to do this with some who have taken a vow, we read, a Nazarite vow. If we look back to Numbers 6, verse 18, then the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And so Paul is to show that he holds fast to the Jewish ways by being involved in a cleansing, showing his cleansing from this impurity, if you will, of being with the Greeks and living like the Greeks. And so, yet we see this division yet between the Jews and the Greeks. The decree of the Jerusalem Council still stands from Acts 15, and that decree is only for the Greeks. Acts 15:19-20, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. And so this is applied to the Greeks, but it's not applied to the Jews. Notice this decree was at this point being unequally applied to the Gentiles only. The Jews seemingly still had to hold to all of the Old Testament standard as well. And Paul shows that this is thrown out in Galatians, reminding us that they couldn't do it either. And so we see that Paul is being told by those who were his elders in the faith that he was supposed to appease these Jews. And so Paul attempts to do so. Paul pays for these men to be purified. He goes with them into the temple. And this is where Paul is seized. As we see in the third point we want to look at this morning, Christ's fulfillment of the law as taught by Paul is misconstrued as lawlessness. The trouble starts with the Jews from Asia. We notice that already. Those who had started the problems for Paul when he was in Asia are here now as well. Acts 13:50, but the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from that region. And they say about him that this is he who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. Paul, at least one trip to Jerusalem, had gone there to bring an offering from the Gentiles to those who were still living in Jerusalem of the church. He obviously was not anti-Jerusalem, and his writing in Romans speaks to this as well. And they also claim that Paul had brought Greeks into the temple, and he had not done this. And so Jerusalem becomes a mob scene. They dragged Paul out of the temple. The doors of the temple were shut. Of course, the temple had been, quote-unquote, defiled at this point. And they sought to kill him. And they didn't stop trying to kill him until the commander of the garrison comes down and stops them. And Paul is here then saved by the intervention of the Roman commander. The commander takes Paul away, stops the crowd from beating him, we read in verse 32, and binds him, asking who Paul is. Acts 23:27, this man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them, says the commander. Coming with troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. Notice how he twists this to his own abilities. And the multitude is in confusion, we read in verse 34, some cried one thing, some another. And Paul is rescued for now, taken to the barracks and carried by the soldiers because of the mob's violence. They cried, away with him. And so Paul's attempt to appease those who were zealous about the law without knowledge of what was really going on backfires on him and backfires on the church. We have to understand something, that we are to be obedient to God's law and not to man. We need to be very careful about that. Now Paul is willing to do this because he sees it as the wisdom of those who are above him in the church. But at that same time, the final authority, the final question must be, are we in obedience to God? And we must understand then that that decree of the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 doesn't just apply to the Jews, and we'll see that in other studies. But we must understand that we need the gospel, the purity of the gospel, not customs, not man's ideas, but God's truth. And only in that truth is salvation. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.